It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The recession and state and federal funding cuts have contributed to any number of problems. Count a critical shortage of public housing among them. There are reports of housing authorities throughout the country wading through long waiting lists for public housing. And according to reporter Hallie Stockton of our content partner Public Source, Allegheny County is no exception. She joins us in Studio A to discuss her story published this week. Hallie Stockton, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And if you have a comment or question, if you've had to wait or are currently waiting for public housing, we'd like to hear your story. Share it with us by calling us at 412-246-2002 to join the conversation. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is ESSPGH@WESA.FM. We'd like to hear your suggestions about what you think can be improved as far as the way the system works. 412-246-2002. You can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. So, Hallie, how bad is the public housing shortage in Allegheny County?
Sure. Well, it's pretty abysmal, actually. In Pittsburgh and Allegheny County, there are two local housing authorities, one for the city, one for the county. They both have low-income public housing and also Section 8 housing, and we're having very major backlogs in both of those programs at the city and county levels. In Pittsburgh, the low-income public housing waitlist has been closed for the first time in 17 years.
Closed.
There are a few properties that are just in communities that aren't normally used, or in apartments that are very strange, you know, sizes for either very large families or just not inhabitable. And really, when the wait list is closed, that means there's an overwhelming demand.
So let's explain for people what exactly low income. You mentioned Section 8. Low-income public housing, that refers to what?
That refers to families who are earning lower, you know, about 30% of the area median income. So you have a lot of low-income families, elderly and the disabled. They are able to get into these communities and pay about 30% of their income as rent. Now, Section 8 is different because you receive rental vouchers and you're able to go rent from private landlords.
And what are the primary types of public housing? What is it that people are waiting to get into, apparently?
Well, those are the two primary types. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of the high rises are in high demand because we have a lot of elderly who are, you know, living alone, and those are the ones that are most full and have really, really long wait lists. Now, they're also the elderly people are the ones who are being moved up on the list because those are viewed as an emergency situation in a way.
Let's say I have a family. We're a low income family, and we have three children. What can we expect to have waiting for us in terms of public housing? If there wasn't a hold on that list, what kind of housing could we reasonably expect to get?
If there was not a hold on the wait list,
right.
You would be looking, I think, probably at a two-bedroom apartment. It would still be crowded. There are not very many vacancies. Even when the wait list was still open, everything's just dwindling, and there are so many families. That's such a common occurrence for these families with young children to be on these lists.
So best-case scenario, you said a two-bedroom house, so, you know, my partner and I would have one bedroom maybe, and there are three kids in another bedroom, and that's a good case scenario.
Probably, yes.
412-246-2002 is the number to call. Let's go to Freddie in the Mexican War Street area. Freddie, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're a little bit later on, we're going to be focusing on another aspect of housing in your area, but that's not what you called to ask us about.
Correct. I'm almost putting the two together for you.
Okay, go ahead.
I'd like to ask if there is any information that you know of about studies in using micro housing or tiny housing and green housing in the city of Pittsburgh, say in the empty lots or abandoned buildings, that could be used for the housing problem, and especially in the inner city, as a green solution and a cost-effective solution.
That's a very interesting suggestion. We know that in certain cities, I know Seattle, for example, is doing a lot with micro-housing. And do you want to explain what that is, Hallie? Micro-housing is, and Freddie, you can chime in if I'm not summing this up correctly, but we're talking about smaller housing units, very very limited space, but enough for a person to comfortably survive, right?
Correct. Basic shelter provided to a individual. Actually, they could purchase them or have them given to them depending on the cost effectiveness. I know that some of the public housing here in Pittsburgh, the costs per family are $200,000, $300,000 to build a unit. These would be approximately $50,000 plus property.
Right, they end up being a lot cheaper. Of course, one argument that you have, certainly in a place like Seattle, is that people are arguing they want to have limits placed on the amount of micro housing because it diminishes property values, or at least that's the perception. Hallie, have you heard of anything like this being tried as maybe a possible answer, as Freddie is suggesting, to the housing shortage in Pittsburgh?
Well, micro-housing was not something that really came up in my reporting, but regarding the abandoned and vacant homes that are, you know, throughout Pittsburgh, when I was speaking to some local officials, namely Bill Peduto and also County Executive Rich Fitzgerald, they both mentioned, like, how can we take advantage of these abandoned and vacant homes and possibly partner with third-party nonprofit organizations, create jobs in those neighborhoods by turning these homes into places that can actually be lived in and be made into affordable housing.
We're talking with reporter Hallie Stockton of our content partner Public Source about the public housing shortage in Pittsburgh and Allegheny County, a critical shortage of public housing that is leaving some people without a place to live. And my next question to you, Hallie, is what happens to people who don't find homes? Where do they end up?
Well, they can easily become homeless, and that's one of the worst-case scenarios. There are figures that show that homelessness in the region has surged over the last decade by at least 60% increase. In January alone, this January, there was a point-in-time study conducted in Allegheny County, and that included the city of Pittsburgh, that showed there were 3,200 people seeking out homeless programs, and that was in 1 month alone. A third of those were children. You can see that there's a clear need for this and that it's affecting some of the most vulnerable people in our population.
So, and as you report in your story, nearly 8,000 children are among those on wait lists for housing. So what happens to those children? Are those families able to stay together? What are they doing in the meantime?
You know, in the meantime, they could be roaming between homeless shelters. There are a lot of homeless shelters that have, you know, 60-day limits, so they could be, staying there for as long as they can. That's still a very unstable situation when you're trying to get kids off to school. You also have people who can stay at a home, but they're in a very crowded home because they're in what's called doubled-up households. There are 247,000 doubled-up households in Pennsylvania right now, which means that there are a lot of crowded family situations, which, you know, brings a whole bucket of stress with it, I would think.
And really heartbreaking when you hear about it, especially how it impacts children just trying to get through their day, the parents trying to get them off to school, and the problems they encounter. 412-246-2002, if you have a comment or question. Would simply like to join the conversation with Hallie Stockton. We have Emily in Mount Oliver. Emily, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi.
Hi, good to hear from you. Yes. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say I was felt called, and I was resonating with some of the things that you were talking about because I'm a working mom. I have three girls, and the house that we're living in now is going to be sold off at sheriff's sale on the 1st of July, and we've looked through public housing routes, and the waiting lists are closed, and the Urban League of Pittsburgh, which can usually help families in times of crisis, is out of funding. So we're just sort of like in a sticky situation right now where we don't know if we're going to have to move in with my mom and have a really crowded situation. She just has a tiny little apartment, or what we're going to do. So just, you know, a story, an anecdote about what's really happening to families out here. And was also wondering if your speakers that you have there today know anything about what resources might be available for, you know, if there's anything that I'm missing, because I've been exploring our options.
Well, that's certainly a good question, Emily. And before I let you go, when did you say that your house is being sold? So when do you have to find a new place to live? How long do you have?
It's being sold at sheriff's auction on July 1st. But so that's pretty soon. And I'm not sure exactly how the process works. I believe that once whoever buys it, they would have to go through an eviction process. I really don't want to have to put somebody through that's buying the home. So I'd like to leave before they'd have to officially evict us. But right now we just don't have another option of where to live. So we're sort of just like holding out, basically squatting until we find a new place.
And you're working and you have three children. Well, I hope, you know, we all hope as we hear your story, which and I'll ask Callie here about how common your story is, Emily. But as you struggle through this situation, we wish you well and we hope you find a positive solution. Thank you for calling and sharing your story. And Hallie, how common is Emily's tale?
I've heard this, and not to take anything away from her unique struggle, but this is a common occurrence, and I understand too that there are, you know, there are funding problems at every level, nonprofit, government, everything. So there are places that you can reach out to. A couple of the nonprofits I am familiar with through this story was Family Links, which provides family centered services and might be able to at least direct you to things. There's also the Homeless Children Educations Fund. But I found the Allegheny County Department of Human Services to also be a wealth of information and have referrals to some of this, to some of these services. But yes, this is something, unfortunately, that's happening all throughout our region and really the state and country.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is reporter Hallie Stockton of our content partner Public Source. She's talking about her piece published this week looking at the critical shortage of public housing in Allegheny County. And one of the interesting things about your piece, Hallie, is that you really put a human face on, as they say, on some of the folks who are on this waiting list, thousands of people waiting to get housing. Describe some of the people and their stories, some of the people that you highlight in your piece.
Sure. Well, first, you know, we have Chris Winston. He's a 20-year-old aspiring artist, and right now he's living in a transitional shelter. For people who aren't aware of what transitional shelters are, like I came into this, it basically, for him, it looks like a dormitory. He has a dorm-sized room, and he has to share a common lounge and computers with several other young adults. And really, he's trying to get his life on track after years of kind of family discord. He says his family kind of started falling apart when he was in high school and his father passed away. He became really withdrawn, and there were a lot of personality conflicts within the family. And he started moving through the homes of relatives, and they had a lot of troubles with that too, both personal and financial. They really couldn't afford to let him stay. So he found himself with nowhere to go at a very critical age. And so right now he's trying to pull together money to get a place, trying to go to college. And he's in this, you know, in this really in a state of transition. So I think one thing that was really powerful about our time together is we were flipping through the pages of his sketchbook, and it was full of color and bold drawings. And then we got to a page. It was an unfinished, just plain pencil drawing. And it was of a home, of a very big, dreamy, spacious home. And it was secluded and on a cliff-like structure. And when we talked about it, he said, you know, it took a little bit of prying, but he finally kind of started to figure it out for himself why he drew that. It signified a place of security and privacy. And it's something that he wants so badly, but he can't really seem to find. So on the other hand, you have somebody who really is an example of what public housing can do for you. She her name is Yvonne Smith, and she had struggled with, 20, 30 years of addiction. She had lost two of her eight children to state protective services. The others had grown up with relatives. And she's really regretful of that now, that she was so kind of entwined in her habit. But she went through a drug recovery program at Bethlehem Haven, and she's been sober for a few years now. And she really wanted to strike out on her own. And public housing helped her do that. She still had to wait for 6 months to do that, to find that home, which may not sound like a lot when you think these people who are on the list right now could be waiting for years. But for someone in her situation who's bounced from, homeless shelter to halfway house to even staying in an abusive relationship just to keep a roof over her head, that was a long time.
And that, too, is not an uncommon occurrence. People staying in situations that pose dangers to them, but staying there because they have no other alternative.
Absolutely.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Lynn from South Hills. Lynn, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thank you.
Yes.
I wanted to make a quick comment on my situation. I'm 61 years old. I'll be 62 in about 5 months, so I just miss being able to get a place. Now, I had my position was eliminated 3 years ago, and I've been working temporary jobs and doing unemployment. I have not been able to find anything permanent. I wasn't able to make my house payments, so now I'm losing my home. And I am shocked at the lack of opportunities for somebody in my position. You're just not quite old enough, but so I'm actually going around looking at low-cost apartments and seeing if I can find somebody who will take a chance on renting to me.
And I understand that you're thinking about solutions to get a program started for affordable housing without gentrification, and you're wondering if a program is already available.
Well, that's true. I see examples of neighborhoods that end up being improved to the point where only people with a good deal of money can live there, and the original inhabitants just need to find somebody else. Or a situation like, I suppose, Somerset up on Nine Mile Run, I think is sort of in that category. I don't think your middle or lower class person can afford to live there. And I just like to see something where the government in accord with a nonprofit could fix up properties and that loans could be gotten so people could live in them or rent them out. So I think something like that, where you improve the housing, you improve the neighborhood, but you keep it so people can continue to live there.
Well, and that's an interesting suggestion. And thank you, Lynn. And Hallie, Lynn brings up an important point. We talked about how the stagnant economy has contributed to this situation, but what about the issue of gentrification? We've seen in certain neighborhoods how that, and we're going to talk about that, how that's impacted the Mexican War Streets area on the north side here in our next segment. But are we seeing a shortage of available housing because of gentrification, because people are being priced out of certain areas? Is that come up at all in your research?
Well, I think that there's definitely an affordability problem all around. And so, yes, there's definitely that problem. One thing that I found really interesting in my reporting was that Pennsylvania was noted as like the 19th most expensive state to rent a two-bedroom apartment. $895 a month was the average. So people are definitely being priced out of specific neighborhoods, and so you're getting very like clustered neighborhoods.
So what are the solutions? What are some of the possible answers to the problem that you've found in your research for your story?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question because much of it really does boil down to money. And as we all know, that's tight right now for everything. And really, the social programs are a huge target for being, you know, defunded or at least cut because there's little softer programs, and also they carry a stigma along with them. So, you know, one thing that one of my sources mentioned to me, a director of a homeless shelter in the area, she really felt that not only is it money, but it would take a unified decision by national lawmakers that housing is a basic right, not a privilege. And so, you know, from her unique perspective as a social worker, she feels like they're being asked right now to be the safety net, that the government is no longer, you know, standing behind that.
Very interesting piece. It raises many questions. And you can find a link to Hallie Stockton's story, Pittsburgh, Allegheny County Experiencing Critical Shortage of Public Housing, at our website, WESA.FM. Hallie Stockton is a reporter with our content partner, Public Source, and joined me here in Studio A. Hallie, thank you very much for being with us. It's been a very enlightening segment.
Thanks for having me again.
Coming up, the war on the Mexican War Streets. What's causing a division among neighbors on the north side? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.